Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and today we're going to enter into the world of computer technology. We have a wonderful guest whose background and expertise may enable you to get some answers to some particular situations that you may not have known that there were easy answers to. My guest today is Joe Huber, and he is known as Mr. Technology. Welcome to the show, Joe.
Welcome, Donna. How are you today?
Well, I'm utterly magnificent, and I'm just so pleased to have you on the show because I have to tell you, a techie I am not. So well, when I got your book, I went, my goodness, there's so many things here that I can even use in the way of information. I'm the type of person, when I get a computer, I don't even want to have to think about what I have to do. It's like, okay, I want to turn it on, I just want to do stuff. But that's not the way it goes with the computers. You have to learn about a lot of the different systems. Now, you're a natural for this. You absolutely have been so involved with them for over 30 years. You've been with the Greenwood Community School Corporation. You've gone from being a science teacher to an audiovisual director to a director of technology. You do workshops for the Indiana State Department of Education on the administrative use of computers and interfacing of computers and videos. You've been involved with all kinds of technology conferences like the NECC, the NSBA, the FETC, and the IDEA Net Advisory Committee. You've also worked with schools, tremendous involvement was there, and you have enjoyed writing about this. You have served on the National Awards Committee for Media and Methods and Technology and Learning magazines. You've been on the cover of Scholastic Administrator magazine. You've just, my goodness, this is something that you obviously have a passion for. How did you discover that you and computers were going to be partners in life on more than one level?
Well, it just kind of happened accidentally, actually. Went to a conference and saw a computer back in the 1970s, and kind of went in and asked the superintendent of our school district if we could be purchasing a computer back then, and he said, well, we already have one. If you want it, it's yours. It's sitting in a box in the hallway over there. Nobody's touched it for 3 months, and that's kind of how it all got started. I picked it up and just found out that we just kind of clicked together.
Amazing.
And it all started back then, and actually, I've never actually taken a formal class in a computer, in computer technology of any kind.
That is incredible. Now, you decided, along with Christine Weiser, that you wanted to put something together. When was the term Mr. Technology first applied to you?
Well, that's kind of a strange story. About 10 years ago, Linworth Publications decided that they wanted to include a monthly article in their magazine, a help article on technology and Linworth writes a monthly magazine for school librarians. And the working title of the article was called Ask Mr. Technology, and we all decided that there's no way that title could go to press because it was just too corny. And we were working on the article, and like most magazines, it's about 5 months ahead of time when you get the article ready, and nobody changed the title when it went to press. And it came out with that as the title of the article. Well, since it's a reoccurring article, when it goes out the first time, it's kind of hard to change it after it goes out the first time. And that's how it became Mr. Technology. It really wasn't supposed to be Mr. Technology, but just kind of happened that way.
Wow. Well, I think it's really great because it's very, very clear about what's going to be discussed. So I think that was a very, very smart move. Now, throughout this book, Mr. Technology, Ask Mr. Technology, Get Answers, and this is through Linworth Books. Now, you've worked a lot with schools, but these questions that were posed from various people. And in the book, you go into it, and obviously we're not going to be able to talk about a lot of this, but there was one that popped out at me right away, and that was about permanently deleting a file. And someone submitted the question that they had been told that even after they delete a file and remove it from the trash can, that someone can still recover it from the hard drive. And I know of people that have older computers, maybe they'd like to, you know, donate them to a school.
Mm-hmm.
How can someone make sure that what was on their computer, that it's gone?
Well, there's two ways of doing it. You can actually do it with the, if you happen to have the system CD that came with the computer, if you put that in and start the computer from that CD, there's a process in there where it asks you to repartition the hard drive. And if you repartition the hard drive and reformat the hard drive, that will remove everything that's on there. But you can, if that's too technical for you, and that's kind of a pretty technical way of going, you can actually buy a piece of software now that will go out and completely erase the hard drive. And you can just do a Google search for, just put in software that erases hard drive, and purchase software that will completely erase the hard drive.
Now, you talk about a free program called Super Shredder.
That's right.
Now, where does someone go to find that?
You can just Google that in and find it.
Just Google in Super Shredder.
Uh-huh.
Well, that could be put a lot of people's minds at risk, because
mm-hmm.
that's really quite significant, especially if you're wanting to donate a machine to
mm-hmm.
make sure that everything is off so it mm-hmm. cannot be accessed by anyone. Because today, in today's world, so many people are putting information online, and
mm-hmm.
that can present a security problem.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you've got some other just absolutely wonderful, wonderful subjects here. You talk about creating signage in Word. You talk about faster printing. And this was something apparently from a teacher where they had a students that were turning in weekly journals as Word documents. And she was going to print them out to review them. It took so much time to open each of the documents and print it. You recommended that it could be done in a faster way. What did you recommend to that teacher?
You can just select them and select print, and it will go through and print them all for you.
Real super. Real mm-hmm. easy. So for those of you that have big reports that you're doing, if you're in business, it's something that you can work with very easily. Now, Vista is a program that in the minds of many, many people is a total nightmare.
Yeah, and if you aren't keeping up on technology, last week Microsoft made a very, very, very interesting announcement. And it's very important to everybody that's been using Windows operating systems. In January of 2008, Microsoft will no longer sell Windows XP to end users. And in January of 2009, they will no longer sell it to businesses. And in January of 2012, they will no longer support Windows XP.
Oh, my goodness. This is
so
just an announcement.
So, therefore, everybody that's terrified of Vista, guess what? You're going to have to move real, real fast, which means everybody that's thinking about buying a computer now, if you buy it with XP, come January, you're going to be out of date.
Oh, boy.
So,
okay, folks,
you better buy Vista now.
Buy Vista now. All right. This has been a nightmare for a lot of people. Anybody that's dealt with computers, they know whenever you do an upgrade, there's always going to be bugs.
Mm-hmm.
What do you recommend that people pay attention to when they're upgrading from XP to Vista?
Well, the first thing is that, and I was one of those people who really did not want to use Vista. I did not like the way that Microsoft had changed the whole look and feel of Vista. And what I found out is after I purchased it is that you can set up Vista to look like Windows XP.
Oh.
And that made a whole bunch of difference in the world because I was right back in the old comfortable environment that I was used to. And it took about 5 minutes to do. And
wow.
So now instead of having this new, completely new desktop to learn, which I'm just like everybody else, I really don't like to change, I was right back to where I started from. And that made everything, you know, a lot nicer than I thought it was going to be. And I've been using Vista now for about 9 months and really haven't found it to be a problem. So that's one thing you could do, but that's what makes you feel better. But if you're going to use Vista, the biggest thing you have to be careful of is that you have enough RAM memory. And that's where everybody gets real nervous about buying computers, and they don't really understand that the speed of the processor doesn't make that much difference. You go out and everybody's concerned about how fast the processor is. and my wife's been in business for 30-some years, and she was the first part of her career, she was a secretary. And when she was going through college, she won all sorts of kind of speed typing contests, and she can type over 140 words a minute now.
Ooh.
I don't come close to that, no way, shape, or form. But my wife cannot out-type a 200 megahertz processor. She just can't. That's too fast.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking gigahertz processors now, and the cheap, you know, the slowest you can buy is like 1.2 gigahertz, and she can't out-type a 200 megahertz. So the slowest processor you can buy, nobody can out-type. So don't worry about the speed of the processor. That isn't what you need to worry about. What you need to worry about is the RAM memory. And everybody gets real cheap on that. And you look at start looking at the basic computer, and basic computers come with like 512 megs of RAM memory. That's the basic memory that Windows Vista requires, which means that Windows Vista is going to take up all that memory.
Mm-hmm.
So you buy a computer with that, and then you open up Microsoft Word, and part of that memory is taken up by Microsoft Word, which means that's loaded out of memory into virtual memory, which means it's loaded into the hard drive. So now that has to be switched back and forth, and now your computer runs very, very slow. If you would buy, let's say, 2 gigs of RAM for your RAM memory, now you can load all of Windows Vista into RAM memory, plus you can load all of Microsoft Word into RAM memory, and everything runs very, very fast. So what you want to do is you want to buy plenty of RAM memory. So I would recommend that if you're going to buy Windows Vista, you buy at least 2 gigs of RAM memory. 4 would be even better, or do like I did and bought 8.
8 gigs of RAM. Oh, my gracious.
And that's kind of like almost a minimum.
Mm-hmm.
But
amazing.
See, when you buy that with a new computer, when I bought 8 gigs of RAM, it cost me an additional $200,
mm-hmm.
which really isn't very much.
No, it's not. Not when you consider how much you're going to be using it
mm-hmm.
and what you need to do. Well, this is really good information to have because I have been observing different points of information, and so much of it was negative relative
mm-hmm.
to Vista, and people have been purposefully avoiding it. But this information that you've given, that by 2012 they won't even have a support system for it.
Nope, it's going to be completely gone.
That's scary because
mm-hmm.
time goes by so quickly, and the upgrades of computers happen so regularly
mm-hmm.
that Vista may be upgraded to another level, and so they're saying we just don't even need to.
Well, it is. There's a new service pack for Vista is coming out in February.
Oh, my.
And if your Dell has already said that they will not be selling any consumer computers with Vista this holiday season without Vista on them.
Wow.
So if you're going to buy a Dell this holiday season, you're going to be buying Vista.
So people, when they're looking at buying a computer, they really need to pay attention to the fact that if it is with an XP system,
mm-hmm.
that they should bypass it and maybe mm-hmm. wait a little bit longer, if possible, to have it where the Vista's already built into it.
That's correct. It'd have enough RAM memory.
And then that way you don't have to worry about too much of anything because it's already set up and ready to go.
That's correct. Well, let me give you an example. I was looking at the Sunday paper last week, and there were two computers at a particular retailer, and they were both by the same company. And one was $449, and it had 512 megs of RAM. Another one was $469, and it had 1 gig of RAM, both of them running Vista.
Wow.
Now, $20 difference, and you got enough memory to do the job. You know, then they were the exact same computer other than that. Now, I cannot tell you how many people went out and say thought they were saving $20 and bought the cheaper one with half the memory. And then they're going to be complaining and moaning and groaning. If they go back to that store and buy the additional memory is going to cost them $70 to $80. Plus somebody to put it in.
Wow. Well, you've heard it today, folks. Pay attention and go pay that additional $20 for the computer so that you have the RAM that you need. And that is so important. Let's move to something that I know so many people experience. It's happened with me. The computer locks up. And I've had to do this. I've had to turn the power off on my machine, restart it. What can we do to avoid that?
Well, to avoid it, to start with, okay, you want to keep doing your updates, and that's one thing people don't do. They just don't do their updates, which is a lot easier, by the way, with Vista than it was ever was with XP. But you got to keep your updates, and you got to keep your virus protection updated, and you got to keep your spyware updated, and you got to keep your operating system updated. But if it happens to you, the first thing people do is they panic, and they always want to pull the power. And what you need to do first is, on a Windows machine, do Control-Alt-Delete and enter the task manager and look what all is running. And the last thing you want to do, if you're in Microsoft Word, the last thing you want to do is close that Word document because that's where all your stuff is.
Mm-hmm.
So try closing other stuff that you have open. And you might be able to close, let's say you've got Internet Explorer and email and you're playing a CD and something else. You might be able to close all that first and get enough resources back so that Word will come back alive and you can at least save your Word document and save your work and then go back. And then if you have to reshut it off, then you can shut it down and still come back up. And at least you haven't lost everything you've done. The other thing to be conscious of is that, especially if you're using Microsoft Office, is that it has a save feature built into it. And you can adjust that save feature. I've always set mine down to it automatically saves about every 5 minutes. That way, I'm not going to lose more than 5 minutes work. And if that happens and I have to shut my power off, the next time I open up Microsoft Word, Microsoft Word, for instance, if it wasn't shut down correctly, it gives you a one-chance shot to resalvage your document. And it will tell you that Microsoft Word wasn't shut down correctly the last time, and you were working on such and such a document. Do you want to recover that document? And if you say yes, it will go back and find the document that you were working on, bring it back to the last time it was automatically saved. You'll be ready to go from that point on.
Okay, you mentioned a shareware utility called MemTurbo.
MemTurbo, yes, that's another one you can use. And that's what that does is that takes care of giving you back resources that are available if you're using particularly Adobe, high-end Adobe products like Photoshop and a few other ones like that, or if you're using AutoCAD and stuff like that. And what happens is those high-memory use products don't necessarily give you back resources. For instance, Photoshop, especially the older versions of Photoshop, when you open it up, it takes up, let's say, half a gig of RAM. And then when you close it, it doesn't give that back. So you open it up another time, and it takes another half a gig of RAM and doesn't give it back. So now Photoshop's sitting there hogging a whole gig of RAM and not giving it up for your computer to use. What MemTurbo will do is when a program's closed, it will give back that memory. Now, again, if you happen to switch to Vista, Vista doesn't do that. Only XP and versions of Windows before that did that.
Ah, okay.
So that Microsoft sticks that in Vista.
Fabulous. Okay.
So that's another reason to take the hit, you know, and move to Vista.
Well, we've gotten a lot of thumbs up here on this type of information. Now, someone presented a question to you about using free pictures, and that means they're not under copyright, and it's not clip art.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to use it for speaking, and they wanted to see what they can come up with, and that is something that has just been a wonderful tool to use. Where does someone go to find it so that it can have free pictures to use in whatever they want to put out?
Well, using pictures is a very, very, very tricky thing to do. And you've got to be real, real careful that they are copyright free. And you just have to be very, very careful with it. One of the best sources I know, and I'm not sure if this is the one that's in the book or not, but there's a company called Tech for Learning. And they're a educational company, and they have a place where teachers have submitted pictures that you're allowed to use royalty-free.
Oh.
And I'm not sure if that's the one in the book or not.
I have one in front of me that's through Microsoft.
Okay, well, you can use Microsoft Clip Art. That's another one you can use.
Mm-hmm.
And Microsoft has a source out there that is also free.
And you also have freestockphotos.com.
Mm-hmm.
And webshots.com.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you mentioned that these two that I've just brought up, they're not filtered.
Mm-hmm.
And so if someone wanted to use them, they need to know that, especially if they're a teacher or whatever, there's some of it you're not going to want to use.
That's right.
So it's anything and everything that's in this, but this is material that is not copyrighted. So
that's right.
This is something you screen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is just fabulous. And for those of you that have just tuned into the show, we're talking with Joe Huber. The book is Ask Mr. Technology, Get Answers. Now, we've talked about pictures. Let's talk about sound effects, where I was totally unaware of the fact that you could go onto certain websites and you have sound effects that you can add to whatever you're sending out or whatever you might want to do in a power presentation. I was totally unaware of this. And you say that there is a A1 free sound effects site, and there's some others here. This is amazing to me.
Mm-hmm. Now, Microsoft has that, too, at their website. On their Clipart website, they have free sounds now. I'm not sure if that was out when the book was published or not.
Wow.
But they have that, too. Now, they also have free movies, even.
Free
that you
movies?
Can download from the same place. Microsoft
goodness.
Has a whole media gallery now that's available. They're all royalty-free.
All royalty-free.
Which means you're allowed, and they're also free for you to use. Which means you can go out there and use them, and they're legal to use and everything like that. And that's the important thing, is that they're legal to use.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, everything that's been going on lately in the last couple of years with the record companies and everything, you really don't want to use something that somebody's got copyrighted and it gets out and somebody goes, you know, you come back a year later or something, somebody's serving you with a summons for a lawsuit that you use something that somebody's copyrighted.
Yes, and we've entered into a world with technology where we have those internet cops, if you will, that are out there screening and evaluating, because there is so much of this that goes on.
Mm-hmm.
Pirating, I think, is a good word to use with that. Let's
it
talk
is.
About email,
mm-hmm.
because you bring out the information in the book that spam has gone up 800%+.
That's correct.
Every one of us is sitting there looking every day. We have our spam filters, and we will get, my goodness, when I get back from my business trip, it's going to be maybe as many as 500 emails that I'm going to have sitting waiting for me in my
mm-hmm.
email box. And I'd say almost 50% of those are spam.
Mm-hmm.
And it drives everybody nuts.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your positioning on that, and what do you think we need to do to take care of this?
I know what I'd like to do with every spammer out there, but that's besides the point. The easiest, it depends on who you're getting your spam, you know, getting your email from. In our case at school, we have an excellent spam filter that is ran at the corporation level, at the district level, and it takes care of about 97% of our spam. And it does a super job, and so we have very, very, very little spam coming through now. If you don't have that, if you're dependent like most people are, let's say you have a broadband account with your cable company or a DSL account with your phone company, and
mm-hmm.
you basically get everything else, there's a lot of good anti-spam software out there, and a lot of it's very, very cheap. And you can do a search on Google again for free spam software. But be careful that it's, and read about it. That's the important thing, is to read deeply about it and make sure that you're not getting actually a piece of spam that you think you're getting a spam filter for.
Uh-huh.
And install that and, you know, research it a little bit and put that on and eliminate it as much as you can. The ones that say that they're going to spam somebody back if you get a piece of spam are the ones you want to avoid. Those don't work.
Mm-hmm.
But get one that filters and that it interfaces, let's say, if it says it interfaces with Microsoft Outlook, and, you know, it's not going to be something that's going to be real expensive, but it's going to cost maybe under $50 or something like that. It's going to be very, very good to use.
I'd like to ask you a question about Outlook. Mm-hmm. Is there a place where you can get real good education on how to utilize it? From what I've been told about Outlook with Microsoft, if you have like 15,000 names and files and information, it's not really set up to handle that. But if you, you know, if you're just like a household user, it's Outlook is great. But if a business wanted to utilize Outlook, where can they go to find out how to utilize it most effectively? Is there a training facilitation that is available via Microsoft? Or how do you find out about that?
Well, again, what version are we talking about? Because Microsoft just recently, within the last 6 months, came out with Office 2007.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't seen 2007, are you in for a shock? Because it looks nothing like Office ever has before.
Wow.
The command bar at the top where you had edit, file, and all that
mm-hmm.
is gone completely.
Hmm.
It now has what's called the ribbon across the top, which changes completely. And what you're talking about, basically, I'm assuming, is contact management.
Mm-hmm.
And Outlook 2007 does a pretty good job of contact management now.
Wow.
It's not a true contact management piece of software, but it does a pretty good job of contact management. And there are some pretty good books out there that do that. And the reason I know that is my wife happens to be a certified Microsoft Office trainer.
Ooh.
And she said that this is a lot better than the other versions of Office that have been out there. But there are certified Microsoft Office trainers that are out there. And there's a list of them on a Microsoft website that you can get through Microsoft, those in your area, that you can actually go take classes from certified Microsoft Office trainers, and they can train you on how to use Office.
Hey, that's great news. So, folks, if you feel like you're going bonkers and bananas, don't worry about that. Just go to Microsoft, and you can find out about the trainers that are in your local area. That's fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know we're almost out of time. And, Joe, you've just got so much information here. What is a website that people can go to find out more about what you do so that they can...
Well, if they're interested in the book, they can go to Linworth Publishing
okay. And
purchase the book, or they can go to Amazon and purchase the book. And that's
okay. Where
you can find it.
All right. Linwood Publishing?
Linworth.
Linworth.
Linworth Publishing or at Amazon.
That's linworth.com is the website. The book is Ask Mr. Technology and Get Answers. Now, we've got about a minute. Is there a thought you would like to leave with my audience before we conclude our chat?
Oh, update, 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 and update.
And update.
And update some more. Better keep you out of more trouble than anything.
And also to be sure that you remember that Vista is something that by 2012 there will be absolutely no support for. Be aware that you need to upgrade to that. So if you're a teacher and you've got a school system that's set up, hey, put out the call.
Yep.
If you're a person that just has this on your desk and you're just using it, just know that by that time, and that seems like a long ways away, but it really isn't, you're just not going to have the help you need. And from everything that Joe Huber has shared with us today, you're going to be able to upgrade. You're going to be able to add to what you need to do in a wonderful way, and you've got all of this information available to you. But you can get his book, Ask Mr. Technology, and Get Answers, and go to www.linworth.com, and you'll find all kinds of information. It's a professional development resource for all kinds of people in the educational system and technology specialists. If you're not one like me, this is a good thing to have. Joe, thank you very much for being my guest
today.
Thank
you, Donna.
And by the way, for those of you listening, if you're interested in iPods, it even goes into information on that. Boy, can you get an education. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be...
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again,
872-8852. Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and by golly, I'm still up here in Fairbanks, Alaska. The snow is stopped, but the skies are blue, and it's just an absolutely delightful temp of being in the 20s somewhere. Yes, that's right. If it's in a shiver down your spine, trust me, you need to have your winter coat. But they have just had the most wonderful weather front that's come through, and the world around here just looks absolutely magical. It's as if someone sprinkled fairy dust on everything, and it's just sparkling like crazy. But even though I'm up here in Fairbanks, hey, due to the wonders of technology, we're going to be able to chat. So if you'd like for me to light up your life a little bit of insight, give me a call in the U.S. The telephone number is 877-876-5227. Canadians, it's 888-810-8322. And we also have a direct line of 530-876-9146. And I want to let those of you know, in California, I'm going to be down in Southern California on business next week, available for private appointments, and in New York the following week. Yes, this has been one traveling lady, and the microphone for the show has been going right along with me. So you don't have to miss a beat, and just tell your friends about it. You don't have to miss any of the wonderful guests that are coming up, because they are going to be, again, due to the wonders of technology and the wonderful staff at BBS Radio, we're able to keep you right up with everything that's going on. Tomorrow, my guest is going to be Mr. Ralph Roberts. We're going to be talking about how you can protect yourself from mortgage fraud. I don't know why, but this has really become quite a big issue recently. So this is something I feel that's going to empower you, and maybe you'll be able to share it with somebody that might be considering going through special mortgaging plans. Well, we're going to be able to make sure that you don't end up being taken to the financial cleaners. And then on Thursday, we're going to be talking with Dr. McCowell. This is a man who absolutely loves history, and his book is titled Postmortem: Solving History's Great Medical Mysteries. Ah, yes, we're going to find out more than what we ever thought possible. Technology is enabling us to get a lot of answers to many different things that we weren't in a position to get answers to before. Carille Quinley is going to be my guest. She is another host on BBS Radio. She has organized an institute called HeartLink, but we're going to be talking also about something that she developed called Crop Circle Cards. We're going to be discussing that. So Carille will be on the air with us on Friday. So we've got a wonderful lineup of people. If you want more information about the upcoming guests, then go into my website. You'll find my newsletter for the month of October listing all of the people. And then also you can check on BBS, and you'll find that the shows are listed with the various guests. And remember, if you miss a show, we now archive them. So you will be able within 24 hours to get that show and to hear it. So if you've been busy and weren't able to meet up with us live, don't worry about that. You can catch it all right in the BBS Radio archive. So be sure and tell your friends, because they can enjoy it too. Don't forget, you can give me a call during this half hour at 877-876-5227. In the U.S., Canadians 888-810-8322, our direct line of 530-876-9146. Living green. This is so important to so many people, because as we become more educated, we realize that what we use in materials, how we process things, all of this has an effect on our living environment. And Matthew Kahn and Fran Lostes did some research, and they found that they wanted to, well, go a little bit deeper than many other people had, trying to find a good balance between what's green, what's healthy, and, you know, what isn't. So they started doing some research. They tried to find out about the places where people really could thrive. Now, not only did they find about the good, but they also found out about the not so good and the real ugly. Now, the top five countries that were rated, the very top five for environmental best, was number one was Finland, number two is Iceland, number three is Norway, number four is Sweden, and number five is Austria. And then the utterly, utterly worst were, and they went to 141 countries, Chad, I have no idea where that is, Burkina Faso, Sierra Leone, Niger, and Ethiopia. And I was just stunned when I found out about some of the places that they said were the most livable cities. In fact, they analyzed the world's greenest, most livable cities. And they checked out about 72 major international cities and ranked them in terms of being green and livable. Now, one of the sources that they used was the Millennium Cities Database for Sustainable Transport that was published in 2001. They used Australia's Murdoch University, some research that had been done there, and all kinds of other resources to really look at what was there. Now, the five best were Stockholm, Oslo, Munich, Paris, and Frankfurt. The worst cities, the real ugly ones, were Bangkok, Guangzhou, Mumbai, Shanghai, and Beijing. Now, let me just break down something. Again, the top five, number one was Stockholm, number two was Oslo, number three is Munich, number four is Paris, number five is Frankfurt. They had, remember, 72 cities that they rated. Bangkok was 68, Guangzhou was 69, Mumbai was 70, Shanghai was 71, Beijing was 72. So Beijing was considered the very bottom. Now, as far as cities in the U.S., New York came in at 15, Washington, D.C. came in at 22, Chicago was 23, San Francisco was 26, Atlanta was 36, Denver was 43, Houston was 46, San Diego 55, Los Angeles 57, and Phoenix was 60. Now, what I found so amazing is that even the countries that they rated in the top five, they said they still have serious environmental problems, and this was interesting information. Finland, who was rated, you know, as one of the top, they said they've got very high marks for air and water quality. They have a very low incidence of infant disease, and they really are very, very thorough about how they protect their water source and how they work with natural disasters. However, what they did find is that there were above average amount of greenhouse gases. It had a large ecological footprint, the mass of land and water needed to sustain the national level of consumption of same. And this contributes significantly to what they consider regional environmental concerns. Why? Finland has the highest industrial energy consumption rate of all five of the Nordic countries due to its reliance on the fuel-intensive forestry and quarry industries. And because of the colder winters and lower rainfall that they've had in recent years, it's had a big impact. So it's forced cuts in hydroelectricity and boosting by 15% since 2005. The need for fossil fuels, and that's a major source of greenhouse gases. Amazing, isn't it? We've got a caller on the line. This is Donna Siebel. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, where are you calling from?
It's YL from Concord.
From Concord, California?
Correct.
All right, dear. Can you spell your name for me? You've got a very soft voice.
It's YL.
YL.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, the first thing I'm looking at there with you is that you're going to need to really pay attention to where you need to keep your focus. So much interference around you. I just feel like I get things where they're sort of in a semblance of order, and then I'm bombarded from the right, from the left, from top, from bottom. And you get very stressed very easily. And I want you to just learn how to take a deep breath when you feel like things are just coming at you too hard and fast. Just try to take a deep breath, count to 10, maybe count to 100, whatever works for you, and say, I can manage this. For whatever reason, you've been going along with, it seems like, a plateau of activity, and then there's a fury of activity. Then there's a plateau, and it just seems it's like almost like feast or famine. And you need to make it okay that you're going through this, because it's going to finish by February the 10th of next year. So be patient with what's going on and keep your eye on the objectives. And I use the plural for a reason. You need to keep an eye on your objectives so that you don't lose sight of what you're wanting to have as a way of, have in the way of results. It is the follow-through that is going to make the difference for you. It's very important that you do something that's a visual, because you're a very visual person. You need to have something that reminds you on a daily basis. You need to put something up in front of you in the way of a picture or something that's very significant that helps you to maintain your focus. And you'll be able to get through this up and down phase of activity, and you'll be able to do it well without feeling overwhelmed. But I also want to encourage you to have a good physical checkup. There is something here that is changing in your body system, and I'm not quite sure what's going on. I'm not seeing you as a sickly person. I'm just looking at something occurring in the body that you need to talk to someone about. So whatever this is, don't wait until something becomes where you feel it's urgent. Don't do that. If you need to have something checked to ease your mind, have it checked. You don't need to be a martyr here. You don't need to be long-suffering. It's not necessary to go through that. Take care of things when they need to be taken care of. What question would you like to ask me today?
First, I would like to have a little clarification. You mentioned about something that goes through until February. So would you mind to address a little bit more on that? I didn't get what will go through until February 2008.
Okay, hon, your voice fades out when I'm listening to you. Again, your voice is soft. So would you repeat your question for me again?
Sure. So what I wonder is that you mentioned something that I will go through until February 2008.
Yes.
So I was just wondering whether you can address a little bit more on that. What specifically will I experience until February 2008?
All right. What I was trying to express to you is the understanding that you're going to have very quiet periods where things are going to go along all right. Then it seems like there's a lot of activity where you feel like you're being overwhelmed. Let's say there was something that came up with family, and they wanted you to take care of things for them, and you're managing a job in your own household, and you just got a brand new work assignment on your job, and you go, oh my goodness, how am I going to handle all this? This is just an example. So that's what I was saying, is take a deep breath, realize that you can keep your focus, and maybe in the interim, you're working on a PhD at a college. Can you get the picture I'm trying to describe to you?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All right. So just understand, whatever your objectives are, I don't care whether it's saving money, getting a degree, going to Europe, it wouldn't make any difference. Whatever is most important to you, keep those objectives in front of you, even though there may be some interference.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to go, dear. It's time for us to take a break.
Okay. Okay, so shall I address my question after the break?
We can do that. We'll put you on hold, and then we'll come back and we'll talk to you further. But you will need to speak up, dear, because your voice just floats away.
Okay.
So we're gonna put YL on hold, and then if you'd like to call in, 877-876-5227, Canadians 888-810-8322. We'll be back. This is Donna Sebo in Fairbanks, Alaska. We'll be back in just a moment.
Okay.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
A popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. YL, we ended up getting disconnected, so she's able to call back in. That's wonderful. And if you'd like to call in and chat with me and let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, try 877-876-5227. That's in the U.S., 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-810-8322. That's 888-810-8322. And a direct line of 530-876-9146. That's 530-876-9146. Are you... Oh, there we go. Maybe we've got YL back. Hello. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I just talked to you earlier. So my question, the question I have is that I just met somebody recently, and it seems at the time when we met, we connected really well. But recently we stopped the connection, the calling and so on. So it's just wanting, what's going on with him. And is something that I can do? How should I proceed on that?
I would say let it rest. And the reason I say let it rest is that the individual that you met, yes, it was a wonderful conversation, and there was just this harmonic that you noticed with each other. But I don't think he really wants to get involved with anyone at this time. What's his first initial?
Okay.
I beg your pardon?
I thought you were asking me for a question.
Yes, I did. I asked you a question, dear. What is the first name or the initial of the individual?
Oh, okay. Got it. It's M.S.
M.S., okay. With M.S., there's a lot on this person's mind. Also, they are going through a severe, well, I don't want to use severe. They're going through a major change in thinking about their life, what they want to do with it, and where they want to go. I would not pursue this person. There is nothing that you can do about this. They must go through their journey of experience and do it in their own way. It would be better for you to just be off and involved in something else entirely. When they're ready to contact you, they will do that. And I think you will hear from this person again. So I would just say, release this. Don't try to force it. Don't try to make it happen. Allow this person to be who they are. and you just go on and interact with some other people.
Okay. So basically, there's no hopes with him.
Well, I think that when you use the word hope, that is a term of desperation. And I would say he is not the end of the world. He's not the beginning of the world. He's merely a person. And what you want to do is to attract into your environment the kind of individual that wants to be a partner with you and is not going to play games. And I think MS does have so much in his own space that is out of balance. You don't need that in your life. So what I'd like for you to do is to be aware that you can attract the kind of person. You need to feel good about who you are so that you can attract the kind of person that will be a partner with you. So don't maintain a positioning of desperation like, gee whiz, this is the first bus I've seen come by in a long time. Don't worry about that. There are many good people in this world. Make it all right that this is not an individual that is going to be in a position of being in the forefront of your life at this time. It's okay. Let it go. Let it flow. Mm-hmm. And make it okay that you can attract someone else.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And if he's not the person for me, when will the person for me show up, maybe the next one?
And your voice is just disappearing again.
Oh, okay, sorry. So I was just wondering, like, other than him, you know, if he's not the real one for me, then where is this real one?
I think I've said it already. Move on. It's okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Don't make him a bad guy. Don't make him a good guy. He's just a guy.
Mm-hmm.
Move on. Date some other people.
Yeah, the one thing bothers me is that I spend so much time to work on my internal growth, and I was looking for, you know, waiting for this person, that I'm just always don't know when will this person show up.
Don't worry about that. Go about living your life. Don't sit and
mm-hmm.
wait. Live life. I'm going to have to go, dear.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
Take care.
All right. Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
This is Donna Sebo, and I know we don't have very much time left, but I do want to remind you tomorrow we're going to be talking about mortgage fraud, so I invite you to share with your friends. And don't forget that we archive the shows here at bbsradio.com. And just know also that there is so much going on, and yes, I am on the road, but you don't have to miss any of the live programmings because due to the wonderful staff at BBS Radio and technology, we're going to be able to bring all of this live programming to you. So you don't have to miss out on any of it, and you can always, again, go to the archives if you're not able to be with me live when I'm on the air. And I'll be in Fairbanks tomorrow, and then I'm going to be broadcasting from Anchorage, Alaska. Then I'll be back in my home office, and then I'll be in Southern California as well as in New York. Southern California next week and New York the following week. So if you want to get in touch with me and you're interested in having a private appointment with me, then all you have to do is call my 800 number, 872-8852, and we'll be delighted to let you know where I'm going to be and where we would be meeting. And it can also be done by phone also. I wanted to share just a quick thought with you. You know, we were talking about technology earlier, and we have so many things that we are involved with every day on a daily basis that takes us into certain spheres of thinking, and maybe we just need to break and we want to have some creativity. We want to get into that mode where we feel like we can have some originality. Well, do you know by listening to classical music for just 10 minutes, it stimulates that part of the brain that's responsible for creativity? So listen to a little classical. There's some beautiful music out there. And you know what? When kids are doing homework, they are going to do their homework a lot more efficiently when classical music is playing in the background, too. Also, going out for a walk, play games. Also, go ahead and take a warm shower if you need one. Not a cold one, a warm one. And you'll feel better, too. My goodness, we're almost out of time. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Don't ever let anybody tell you that you cannot make your own choices. And don't ever turn your life over to anybody else. Remember, you are the one that is the architect, the designer. You want to be sure you empower yourself in every way possible to design how you want your life, your experience to be. But it does take time, does take effort, and more than anything else, it does take a passion for it. And when you do that, when you have that kind of a commitment, hey, you're going to win. So be good to yourself. Talk with you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.
Sometimes flowers make her cry, I wonder why. Thunder clouds just disappear.